So today is a Tuesday, yeah? 9 November 2021. So we shall be continuing from this book sharing, The Essence of Infinite Meaning Teachings from the Adapter Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 468. Just relax body and mind. Then, as usual, we are off the light. You can have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will continue with our invocation to the universe, followed by the sharing. Okay, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So always remember, this is to train ourselves to develop the inner mindfulness, the awareness nature, so that we are just aware without thought. To do it, you need the four support, especially the first three for awareness-based meditation. You need to be completely relaxed, body and mind, completely relaxed. Relaxed means no stress, no tension, no tightness, nothing. The mind is completely free and relaxed. You are like at ease. Body also at ease. So let whatever tiredness, stress, tension, or any mind states, let it relax and become peaceful. Then after that, the second support is maintain awareness. Just maintain the awareness. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just maintain awareness. Whatever arise, away, finish. So this awareness nature can only surface when thought doesn't arise, when sankhara doesn't arise. But it's not easy to have that mind state because living being has been heedless for so long. The mental hindrance are so strong. They lack the five spiritual faculty to counter this mental hindrance. So if that is the case, then you need to have understanding to develop this awareness-based meditation. That's why many people find very difficult to develop awareness within, sati within, or to be mindful without thought. So their mundane mind, their thinking mind, are most of the time very heedlessly thinking. The continuous thinking is like a habitual tendency that they can't stop because of mental hindrance. The word mental hindrance means those are the mind states that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to realize your true mind, the silent mind. So the first support is relax body and mind, then maintain awareness. Third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours throughout the day. Initially, it's your waking moment. Then later on, even when you are resting or into your sleeping moments, you can do that. That would be beautiful. This first three support is very important. Once the awareness nature arise and you can stabilize it, then you can meditate. You become very skillful. You become very different. Then you will understand many things on your own. Then later on, as you develop the meditative understanding more and more, more and more, you can develop the fourth support, which is trust. To trust your nature to do. Or sometimes they use the word surrender. You just surrender everything. Means no question, nothing. Just away. And let the nature do its work. Because our true nature is already wise and perfect. It knows what to do. So when you trust your nature, it will move on its own through its own understanding. So to do that, the thought must not interfere. That's why when the thought doesn't interfere, means you trust your nature to do the meditation. Then meditation become like very natural, automatic. The mind that is aware just completely relax, maintain awareness, and let that nature move to activate whichever part it wants to activate. When you have stabilized the first three support, when you are capable of maintaining awareness, then you should silence everything and just go to the heart area. If you are familiar Anapanasati, it will also take you to the heart area. Whatever skillful means or object of meditation that you do, finally you will stay at the heart level, because the heart is a very special organ, and there is a gateway within the heart area where you can connect to your true nature, your true mind. So in order to realize that, you have to stay at the heart. Then the heart, around the vicinity of the heart, there is a pulse of light where they call it your heartbeat. Where the heartbeat, that is the pulse of life. That is the karmic force that you receive from your karmic nature, from the universe. So that one trigger of life. So the pulse of life, when it beats, it will pump the heart. It will send the blood to nourish all the organ, everything. Then it is also capable of giving rise to consciousness, because that is a source of energy, the conscious energy from the karmic nature. So this understanding is very important. That's why you stay at the heart area. Some people call it the seat of consciousness. Yeah, from there, consciousness arise, the life force arise, the nature's pulse of life arise. And there, within there, there is the gateway to return or to connect to our true mind, the source, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So initially, from that nature, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness, the awareness nature. That's why we maintain awareness to realize that nature. Then later on, when it stabilizes, even this awareness nature will cease. When the wisdom develops, when the mundane mind realizes itself and cease completely, then the pure awareness also will cease. When you go through that, you will realize what they call the unconditioned. Some call it the state of enlightenment, the timeless state. The Buddha call it Nirvana. So different religion maybe give it different name. But this awakening, this realization is very important, because when you come out from there, that nature, then the mundane mind will return. The five aggregate of form and mind, which is the thought process, the mundane thinking, will return. But as it come out, you will be able to see clearly how life begins, how the form and mind like start its activity again, how from that nature, the first to come out is the awareness nature, the pure consciousness. Then from there, how that pure consciousness split into that three area of consciousness to activate our entire physical body to allow it to animate into a human being. One portion of the energy will go to the heart area. The other one will go to the brain to activate the brain. And the other one will go to the tanten to activate the what they call tanten early energy for our usage and function. So when these three areas of consciousness return to the physical body, then the human being becomes conscious again. You become an entity again. Then from there, because your awareness is still there, everything that happened, the awareness is aware. That's why you start to understand clearly, who are you? What are you? What is this form and mind all about? What is this human being all about? And what is it that is beyond the form and mind? That nature, the unborn, the unconditioned, then you will realize that that form and mind is not real, not what you think, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Then you also come to realize the unconditioned is the unborn. They call it by various names, but words cannot explain or express that nature. So only the enlightened beings who has gone through the process will start to understand. Then when you come out of it, you like can see how you function as a human being very clearly, which is exactly like what the Buddha explained in his teaching. You will see the link of dependent origination, how my activities start, how things come to be, how the senses together with the consciousness come into contact and trigger off sense door consciousness. And when you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feeling thing, you become a human being. You become animated into a human being. That is like you are alive. But that one is condition arising, dependent originating. Even the aggregate of mind, you are mindful, you can see them arising and passing away, no reality. That everything that is condition arising will cease and condition cease to be. So all these things you will understand. And when you are completely silent without thought, that is your meditative mind, that is your true mind. If you use that to observe, to develop understanding, you will become very wise. Wisdom will dawn upon you and you will awaken. Then that pure mind, the true mind, the silent mind will insight into phenomena and awaken. Then that time everything will be clear, the Dhamma will be clear, everything will fall into place. Like you suddenly can understand all of the truth that is mentioned in the scripture or in the teaching. Then it's like all of a sudden you have become so different. You understand clearly the true nature of things, the universal characteristics of all phenomena within the world. So this is a very brief but very good summary, yeah, of what you're supposed to know. So today, because there is condition, that's why I share this. Anyway, it's recorded. So take your time to slowly listen to it so that you can have deeper understanding of what meditation is, the four support, the true mind, the true nature, and the silent mind. So all this will be very useful. you can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness, to live your life, and to meditate. The eight merits is inconceivable. With it, we can establish various skillful means to enable others to form aspiration. Once their faith has developed, we lead them to courageously advance. So this one is very beautiful. That's why the eight merits is very, very powerful. You can develop skillful means to enable others to determine strongly and form aspiration, adhikan. Then once their faith has developed, we can teach them and lead them further to courageously advance along the path of Dhamma. If mind is unwavering, we lead them to strengthen their aspiration. If someone previously do not believe in the existence of transmigration, means rebirth, or blessings, means the law of karma, the fruition or reward for wholesomeness or goodness, we can practice this sutra's teaching to inspire their faith. Means the sutra of infinite meaning. We will fortify our observation of precepts and our patience as we also practice the perfection of paramitas of giving, dana parami. We will attain unsurpassed bodhi and purify all Buddha's land. So this is the very clear explanation of the eight merits, and it's really something very beautiful, very useful. When the Buddha taught sentient beings, he used various skillful means according to their various capabilities. He did this to inspire faith in them, so they would seek the Buddha Dharma and eliminate their ignorance and affliction. So this skillful means is very important, but it depends on the individual, and you must have the wisdom to understand each and every one of them. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why initially, when you want to do this work, it may not be smooth sailing in the sense that you have not perfected yourself, or you have not inherited your past to the level where you can really understand many things and use various skillful means according to the sentient being's individual various capacity or capability to train them, to inspire faith in them, so that they would seek the Buddha Dharma to eliminate their ignorance and affliction. The last maybe 30 over years after I started developing this understanding to share the Buddha Dharma, I realized the best way to get people interested is when they have the causes and conditions to understand this teaching. Unless there are causes and conditions, it's not easy. Then for those who have the affinity and the condition to receive this type of teaching or Dhamma, you can see clearly. They show a lot of signs. Then they can easily get interested and understand what you want to share with them. And most of the time, they will be very keen to develop the understanding. Then their faith will develop. Then as their faith develops, they will try out. And when they try out and they see the good result coming from not only yourself or others, but also other fellow practitioner of Kayanamitas, then it inspired them further, it gave them great faith. Then they were determined strongly to go this way. And when they themselves realize the benefit, sees the truth, and able to comprehend this teaching, they will move. After that, they don't really need much guidance from us. Apart from the higher teachings and all those things, they will go all out to cultivate this teaching. Then they themselves will have their ability to share this wonderful teachings with other people. So they will seek Buddha Dharma to eliminate their ignorance and affliction. Affliction means suffering. Yeah. So that they can have the good life. Then we often say faith is the source of the way and the mother of all merits. This is very true, I explained before. Faith is the first of the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So without faith, there is no strong spiritual faculties to move, to train, to cultivate. And faith can give rise to a lot of understanding. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching, in your teachers, in the Dhamma, the Triple Gem. These are very important source of the way. When you have faith, you can understand spiritual teaching. And this is a spiritual faculty. And when you have faith, everything fall into place and goes your way. There is no more doubt. Faith will make your mind composed and calm. When you have a composed and calm mind, you can listen attentively and receive the teaching clearly. So all these are the great benefits of faith. And because of faith, the teachings can actually go in. You can assimilate the teaching very easily. You listen with faith. You listen with clarity of mind, attentively, mindfully. And all this will aid you in the cultivation, in receiving the Dhamma, awakening. So faith is the source of the way and the mother of all merits. When you cultivate correctly because of your faith, it will give rise to merits. Because to cultivate the Buddha Dharma is to transform ourselves from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living. When we cultivate the Dhamma, we are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, wholesomeness, and purify our mind to develop wisdom. That's how we perfect ourselves and develop all these merits, blessings. So for those who understand, they will not turn back. They will go all out to cultivate this teaching, that this is the only teaching that can transform your life for the better, change you for the better, allow you to understand life clearly so that you can root out your ignorance and affliction so that you will have the good life, the noble life, the blessed life, and you don't have to be afflicted by anything else. The phenomenal world will have no power over you. Everything will become very beautiful, easy to understand, and you can live life to the fullest. You can really, really see the wonder of living the noble life. Then wonderful existence will arise. Without faith, faith is the source of the way and the mother of all merits. Faith gives birth to our study and cultivation of the Buddha Dharma. Without faith, no other merits can manifest. This is true. You don't have faith, you won't cultivate. You won't arise the virya, etc. So without faith, no other merits can manifest. If sentient beings have faith and accept the Dhamma that they hear and understand, then without any thoughts of doubt, they can take the Dhamma into their hearts. Once their faith has developed, we lead them to courageously advance along the path of Dhamma. If mind is unwavering, we lead them to strengthen their aspiration. If we can inspire faith in people, they will naturally continue to dwell deeper into the Dhamma and advance diligently in their spiritual practice. Through putting the teaching into daily practice, everything they experience can help them to develop wisdom. The happiness that they gain from increasing their wisdom is Dhamma joy. With this joy, they can sustain the faith. They initially develop and remain unwavering in their aspiration. So these are very beautiful understanding. If someone previously did not believe in the existence of transmigration or blessings, we can practice this sutta's teaching to inspire their faith. Once people have established their faith and aspire to engage in spiritual practice, we must further deepen their understanding of causes and conditions. This one is very important. You have to understand the law of dependent origination, causes and conditions. So we must let everyone know that those who commit wrongdoing will face negative retribution, negative karmic retribution. And those who do good deeds will be blessed with rewards. After we have understood the principle of ourselves, we must put them into practice through spiritual cultivation. We will fortify our observance of precepts, means sila, morality, and our patience as we also practice the paramita of giving, means generosity or dana parami. Giving is the first of the six paramita, the dana parami or generosity parami. Everything from the four infinite mind or four Brahma vihara to the six perfection are methods of spiritual practice. The path of spiritual practice is a road to walk on. But if we only talk about principle and do not actually walk this path, we cannot be transformed. This is very true. So everyone must first transform themselves by learning the Dhamma, which is the phase one Dhamma, Pariyati, so that they can then transform others. If we can first put the teaching into practice in our own life, we can then guide others to walk this road with us and experience this Bodhisattva way. So this is very true. So to put the teaching into practice is phase two of Dhamma. They call it Pratipati phase. This path takes us back to our pure and undefiled intrinsic nature so that we can attain unsurpassed Bodhi and purify all Buddha land. The pure land in this world is right in front of us. When we have the Dhamma, we can see pure land. We are in fact existing in the pure land. So if we can apply these principles from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, we can deepen our understanding and wash away our ignorance or root out our ignorance. Then we will naturally develop wisdom. We can also explain the principles in ways that others can believe and accept. This is very true. Before you really have the ability, initially you find it very difficult to teach or to share or this teaching to get people to believe you and accept what you teach. This is what my nature realized too. Not until towards the later part when I have developed more and more experience on how to actually teach the various types of sentient beings, because there are so many types. Then also, it takes time for the understanding to stabilize, for us to go back to the level where we have cultivated in the past to inherit our spiritual wisdom from our spiritual nature. That one also takes a while. Then as you develop all this, you become more and more skillful, then you will naturally be able to share and teach people and explain the principles of the Dhamma or the way that others can believe and accept, and thus help them to successfully complete their spiritual practice. This is what we do as Bodhisattva companions. Means we are companion walking the path of the Bodhisattva way. We are Dhamma friends. We have often said that we are closer to our spiritual family than to our blood family. And this is especially true when you are cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. In fact, the Buddha Dhamma will enable you to understand the beauty of spiritual family or spiritual friends. When you have spiritual friends who are true cultivators and sincere to their intent and purpose, you are among practitioners who are the most beautiful that you can come across in this world. As a spiritual friends or family friends or spiritual family, they are very supportive and very, very interesting in the sense that they really can help us, can help each other, motivate each other, and allow each other to learn from all. So the way of spiritual family or kayamitas, spiritual friends, is the Dhamma way. That's the reason why the first of the 10 steps proclaimed by the Buddha in the Avijja Sutta to free yourself from ignorance, liberate the mind to become enlightened. The 10th step of the Avijja Sutta start with spiritual friends, having Dhamma friends, spiritual friends. But that is a prerequisite for cultivation, for enlightenment. Without spiritual friends, you can't. And all spiritual friends, the great beings or the Sammasambuddha, they are the best. So this understanding is very beautiful. So I will continue. This is what we do as Bodhisattva companions. We have often said that we are closer to our spiritual family than to our blood family. We are related to our blood relative as a result of the convergence of causes and conditions and karmic affinity or retribution. So our relationship are inseparable from suffering. So that one you have to understand. But not necessarily all are suffering. Now, some are karmic affinity, not retribution. You come as a Dhamma family because you have supported each other and they have the parami or affinity to be your children, because they have been parents who also had the parami to look after beautiful children. So you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So if you do your duty well, in future you will be born into a family that will also treat you well. So sometimes it's not just karmic retribution. That's why I add in the word karmic affinity. So sometimes blood relative can be as a result of the convergence of causes and conditions a karmic affinity, not necessary retribution. But most of the heedless and deluded one, they come together because of karmic retribution. You have to pay your karmic debts. So our relationship in that sense, if they have to pay their karmic debt because of karmic retribution, are inseparable from suffering or affliction. But our Dhamma relatives are those, here he, she explained, yeah. But our Dhamma families or relatives are those with whom we have shared a common mission. This is very true. We have all vowed to clean our mind with the pure Dhamma water and advance to the still and tranquil state of Samadhi and wisdom. This is what brought about the condition for us to become Dhamma relatives and spiritual companions who help each other, motivate, encourage each other to walk the path of Dhamma, to develop wisdom life. So this one is very important. Eh? So if you can bear this in mind, do your duty well, every line you come, you cultivate, you create beautiful coming affinity and condition for your future coming. Do your duty. That is the most important. If you do your duty, everything will fall into place. To perform our duty is to live life in accordance with the Dhamma way. And the Dhamma way is very beautiful when you understand, when you perform your duty towards the law of nature, the karmic law. All this understanding, if you walk the Bodhisattva path, you will understand and you will turn out beautifully. That's why your life after a while will be very straight and very beautiful. Like you are very blessed. Your life is full of wholesomeness. Like you are very lucky. Every life you come, the causes and conditions are all in place for you. Like you don't have to really do anything, just like the way I have understood my life, this segmented life that I share with you all. Technically I didn't do anything. My nature arise and everything was already there, all in the place. My nature just echoed and flow, and everything just happen. Yeah. It's like, even allow me to plan, it will not happen so beautifully as how it had unfold under nature's condition, because that nature's ability to understand all this is so like powerful, so surprisingly great, to the extent that it already sort of put all this into place through its vows, its aspiration, its karmic inheritance, its spiritual understanding. All this already created the causes and conditions for the segmented life arising, coming, the timing of it, the causes and conditions for it to arise, which parent has been chosen, and how you arise, and when you arise, how you receive all this Dhamma, how the cultivation come back to you, how everything just fall into place. All these are amazingly wonderful and beautiful. Hopefully one day when you have your cultivation developed, you will understand all this too. You look back on your life, you will understand. You realize you have not developed it perfect enough or good enough, then you can determine, aspire to have all this, and it's possible. Because my nature went through all this training, that's why it can understand all this and it know how all this are possible. I will read on that. Suji volunteer often say, with each additional Suji volunteer, there will be fewer affliction in society. If one person can be transformed, the whole family will be blessed. When Tzuchi volunteers share teachings with others, they often use their own story as an example and even openly confess their past wrongdoing. They reveal mistakes to improve. Okay, we will go to note 61. There's a footnote 61. So footnote 61, revealing mistake to improve, is a Taiwanese folk saying. Literally, deflate your ego for the sake of improvement. So this is a good skillful means. Deflate your ego. Don't be so egoic for the sake of self-improvement. Master Chen Yuan say this is to encourage Tzuchi volunteer to bravely share their past mistake with others. That's why a lot of cultivators, they fail to understand. Initially, it's because of the thought. The thought is afraid. The thought is fearful. That's why they are like very shy to share what happened to their life. They thought this is not something nice. This is not what society can appreciate or approve of. So they want to keep it to themselves, then they don't want to share it. But when you cultivate the Dhamma, as you understand more and more, you realize you will become more and more truthful, more and more sincere. And all this is already nothing to you, because this is Dhamma. And Dhamma is truth. Why must you have that type of thought to tell you, no, I cannot let this known to people. This is my secret. It will make me very shameful. It will like shame upon me and my family. So if you hold on to all this, it's still at the thought level, through delusion. But I always say, who is fearful? The thought is fearful, it's not you. Your true nature will understand. This one is just a segmented form of mind. Every form of mind that comes, they make mistakes. Before you have the Dhamma, you will make mistakes. You also break your precept, because you don't know what is precept to initially, unless your past is very special. You have that compassionate heart in you, and you have this loving kindness in you, and these are part of your nature which you inherited from the past. Then you will not be faced with all this. But if you don't have, chances are you will go through life in a way where you make mistakes. So mistake is a good way to learn. Without mistake, you won't learn. When you make mistake, you can contemplate, you can reflect, then you can share your experience with other people. That's why here is mentioned. They can help both themselves and others to understand the principles and vow to engage in spiritual practice. So if you can bravely, as Tzuchi volunteer, share your past mistake with others, it's very beneficial. So as an individual practitioner of Dhamma, later on, as you understand the Dhamma more and more, you will not hold on to that wrong view or wrong thought. Then you are happy to share, because the mind that understands is no longer egoic. Who is shy? The egoic mind is shy, the thought is shy. When you share truth, when you share life experience, is to let people understand, so that people can appreciate what you have gone through and people can learn from it, because each and everyone is different. Like meditation, if everybody cultivate on their own, you will not progress, because you can only learn in a very limited way on your own. But if you share information, share experience, and have an open mind, it's just like science and technology, how they develop. They share information and technology, they write papers, put out hypotheses, they share their knowledge, then those who read them develop further understanding and maybe go deeper into it, then share back whatever information they know, then it will complement each other and in a very good way, the jigsaw puzzle can be resolved faster, so that all this can be understood faster by more and more people. That's how education is important. You must have all this understanding. Okay, we will continue with the commentaries. By doing so, they can help others to understand the principle, which is very true. This is living Buddha Dharma, real life Buddhist teaching. Okay, before I continue, just maybe for the benefit of those who just came in late, today's pre-meditation briefing is very good. Do go back and listen to it. And do a short video clip on it. And you can get somebody to transcribe it. I think it's about 15 or 17 minutes, around there. It's very good. It's about the meditation, the four support, together with understanding that nature, that true mind, and how you can go into cessation to realize the unconditioned Nibbana. Then how, when you come out of it, how it happened and all those things. So all these are described there. So do go and listen to it. It will benefit those who have already developed the understanding. Okay, now we continue. Those in faith believe in and accept what they hear. They have no doubt about the Dhamma. They comprehend. So this is very true. But the Dhamma is very strange. These are truths which are very unique. According to the Buddha, this Dhamma is Pachetang Veditapo Vinohiti. Pachetang means this Dhamma can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves, no one else. Unless you awaken that form of mind that has gone through the awakening, others cannot understand. So here what is described is very true. Those with faith believe in and accept what they hear, then they cultivate, they will have no doubt about the Dhamma that they have comprehend. Because they have deep faith in the Buddha Dhamma, in all Dhamma, they give rise to Dhamma joy, into the pure virtue of the three treasures, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, and the causes of blessings and wisdom. They engage in worldly mission with a world transcending spirit. This is very true. After you understand this Dhamma, this nature's law that governs life existence, you really love the Bodhisattva way. You really love life. You see life very differently. That's why you will have a lot of Dhamma joy. And due to the beauty of Dhamma, here they use the word of pure virtue of the triple treasure, or the three treasure means the triple gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. These are the Aryan Sangha. And their virtue are pure and limitless. That's why you make offering to the triple gem, or you pay your respect to the triple gem. Like what is mentioned in the salutation to the Sangha. It will give rise to limitless merits or blessings. So due to the pure virtue or merits of the three treasures of the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the Triple Gem, and the causes of blessings and wisdom, they engage in worldly mission with a world transcending spirit. That's why, because of that, they really have that joy Because they see how blessings and wisdom after cultivating the Dhamma way or the Bodhisattva way, this blessing and wisdom that arise can help them understand life, transform their life, and deliver the result of the wonderful existence to allow them to experience the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda. That is the most beautiful phase of life, because that is the phase you get to live the life of an enlightened being, to receive the fruit of your hard work. After you awaken, you can live the noble life of an enlightened being and experience all those wonders and beauties of life and live life to the fullest. Then, because of that understanding, and you are able to witness all those, your faith is very strong, then you are willing to engage in a worldly mission or spiritual cultivation to take living being across with a spirit that is very different. They use the word world transcending, is beyond the world. Normal people cannot do, but they will do because of the understanding and the joy in all. So we read on a bit more, then we can have our Q&A and meditation reporting. Having faith means believing in and accepting the Dhamma that we hear and understand. So this is very important. When you have faith, it means you believe in and accept the Dhamma that you have heard and understood. That's why that will give you the faith. By faithfully applying the Dhamma, we can eliminate doubt. Without doubt, we can take the Dhamma to heart and put it into practice, so that everything we experience can help us to develop more and more wisdom, increases our wisdom. The joy that arises when our wisdom increases, Dhamma joy. This is really true. When you realize the truth, when you experience this wonderful truth, your mundane mind like awaken to truth, then there is so much joy. We have no more suffering, no more delusion, no more ignorance. And everything becomes so different. The way you perceive the world, the way you perceive life, the way you look at things, so different. You have the understanding, the unreality of the form and mind. He no you, he no me, no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, no mark of Dhamma existence. So all these are very wonderful. Then you can realize the state of no thought. You can realize your true mind, your true nature. You can understand what that nature within is. So all these are so wonderful and so beautiful. That's why as cultivator of the way, this is something you have to understand and look forward to. When you realize this, you become very different. That's why there will be a lot of Dhamma joy. Then your mind becomes so peaceful, so tranquil, so still. And yet, there is understanding. And when you want to arise, you arise. That's why you can go back to normal life. Like the three-way of seeing mountain under the Zen teaching, Mahayana analogy. Initially, when you are a lay person, whatever you see is mundane seeing. So they use the phrase Kan San Si San because you are still mundane. People are still mundane. So when they see mountain, they say, yeah, this is mountain, because these are the way of the mundane people. Our education, everything, the conditioned world. They use words, they use concept, and they have to explain things using words and concept. That's why mountain. Kansan, Susan. But as you cultivate the Buddha Dharma, you start to realize a very profound understanding that whatever you see or perceive is not what you think. It's not the word. It's not the concept. It's not the image. Because that one, you cannot express in word. It's just like how J. Krishnamurti explained. When you see a tree, you label it as a tree. Then do you know what happened? There is delusion. Because the word tree, T-R-E-E, is not what you see or perceive. What you see or you perceive is that thing without words. That's why when you can see things as they are, without words, without views, opinion, and conditioning, means you can see things as they are, suchness, that reality, with the pure awareness. Then you realize that thing has no word, no description, nothing. That's why under the second stage of seeing, the enlightened being who has gone beyond, can see beyond form and perception, they will say, Kan san pu si sa. Because to them, it's not a mountain. Mountain is just a concept, a word, a description. That what he sees is that reality beyond words, beyond thought. That's why it's so different. That's why at the second level, enlightenment level, he will understand. Kan san, pu si san. So that is the second phase of seeing. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will collapse in front of you because you know these are all mimic mental manifestation. Consciousness. They arise and they pass away, they come and they go, no reality. So it's just a phenomenal world, conditioned world of consciousness. So when you see all this clearly, your mind changes. You understand things differently. Then if you continue to cultivate, you will finally come back to normality. Normality means the third phase of seeing. You realize the form and mind is the form and mind. This one exists, pertain to the conditioned world, even though you know there is no mark of a self. But there is such a thing as a human being, a living being. And this is subject to karma. That's why you will know how to do your duty. You will know how to live life. And this one can live life, even though it's impermanent, goes the way of nature. When you attach cling and grounds, it gives rise to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. When conditions cease to be, it cease to be. That's why there is birth and death. Whereas the true nature within, which is the deathless element, is also the unborn. Whatever there is the unborn, never die. But that one, it's not a human being, it's not an entity where you can hold on to. Well, that one cannot come out and live life, not like this mundane mind. This mundane mind can actually manifest through coming and get trapped in the form and mind, in the physical form, to become a living being or a sentient being or a human being in our case, that animate into a life entity. But that is not us. That is just a condition arising phenomenon. So all this you will understand. Then you will realize life is beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. There is such thing as life. Life recognizes relationship. There is this law of karma where it is subject to. Then you will know that you have to do your duty. Do your duty means you echo and flow. You merge yourself with society, with all things. That's why at that phase, you understand life completely, both the conditioned and the unconditioned. then you can leave. Then during that phase, the third level of seeing arise. Kan san, yu si san. That time, when you see a mountain, you will say, yes, it's a mountain. You will not disagree anymore. Whereas in the second phase of seeing, you can still disagree. But to you, there is no such thing as mountain. Kan san, bu si san. Well, that is the direct seeing, the pure perception before the words and the concept come out. So when you move beyond that phase, you go back to normality, means you can accord and flow and live life, do your duty. When you meet an enlightened being who say, Kan san, bu si san, you can also agree, yeah, bu si san, there is no mountain. Then when you meet her with the sentient being or Puttujana who is not enlightened, he said, there is a mountain. Ah, yes, it's a mountain. So you can agree to either of the situation because this is the Dhamma phase, wisdom phase, where you avoid conflict, where you don't cling on to duality, where people are just the way they are. Sentient beings who are enlightened, they see things differently. Those who are not enlightened, they see things differently again. Those that have gone beyond both the conditioned and the unconditioned, when they have developed the wisdom of foresight, then they become normal again. That's why at certain phase of my life after 1989, I realized I can go back to normality. At certain phase, I doesn't want to mix around. I doesn't want to talk. I didn't even want to play mahjong and all those things. I stopped everything. It's not to say I don't want to do. I don't like to do. No, I still very good at it. I can still do, but no more meaning. No more meaning. Then later on, I realized the third phase of life. The Pativeda. Then I have one teacher and sitting two guys who share with me this beautiful understanding. One of them is a monk sitting from Thailand, Achayantra. He told me, he said, the monk is not the one with the rope. If the one with the rope is the monk, you rope the rope of the monk onto a tree, and you don't tell me the tree become a monk. That one trigger. Oh yeah. The monk is by virtue of his Dhamma, of his heart. You are a monk where you have the Dhamma, irrespective of whether you are ordained or not. You have the rope or not. But of course, you can take your refuge, you can take your precepts. That one, no harm. Like this night, my whole family took our refuge under Master Xuan Hua. So all this is very beautiful understanding. Then later on, I came across my late guide or lay teacher. They are lay people. That's why they also speak in a different way. To them, they also have certain understanding of their own. So they can still live the lay life and develop the training, the cultivation, the understanding. That's why later on, I came to know that all these are possible. Then one day when I was going through the internet, I saw this very famous great being, Vimalakirti. I read the sutta, then I knew that this is the guy that my nature will follow. Because he liked to come as a lay person. He has a different character. He is a very accomplished cultivator. He has met, according to the sutta, 90 million Sammasambuddhas. encounter and develop affinity with them. Not 90 million sainthood or enlightened being on here, but Sama Sambuddha. And because of that, he has a very unique way. And when people ask him why you like to come in the lay form, he said so that people who look at the external form will not recognize him. Because these people look for outward appearances. They don't have the Dhamma mind to detect the true cultivator of the way. Then if you want to do the work of a bodhisattva, if you want to save sentient beings, there are a lot of things that you cannot do as a monk because they have their rules, their monk's precepts, many things they cannot do. Yeah. Whereas as a lay person, he can do almost everything that a normal sentient beings can do. Then he find it more suitable, more appropriate and easier for him to fulfill what he wants to fulfill. So because of all this, my nature also have its own understanding, then it knew you don't have to go the way of the tradition of Sakyamuni, which is to develop the Sangha, the noble disciple, the order of the monks and all those things. But that is Sakyamuni's tradition. Of course, a lot of Sama Sambuddha's tradition are with the Sangha, but not all. Then at different phases of cultivation, you do different things. So today's sharing, I think, is very beautiful, very useful, very meaningful. So with this, I will stop at the commentary where we were at just now, right? So that we can have more time for our second session. Then we will open up for Q&A.
So just share a bit of my cultivation. The last sharing. So Ratio mentioned that I think I was a bit over-asserted. On the without knowing that the thought without knowing that the thought wanted to be aware. That is true. Because I think I was not relaxed enough. After that, ever since that, so there's no such thing happen.
Very good.
More relaxed.
Because sometimes cultivator encounter such situation, they have this thought telling them that you have to be ever mindful, you have to maintain mindfulness. So when the thought wants to be mindful, they overexert, which is very common. So what happens is when you do that, you forgot to relax. Your relaxation is key. When you are relaxed without thought, the awareness is there, automatic. So you're supposed to maintain awareness. You're not supposed to look for it, force it, and want to be aware. Where the one thing is by the thought, and there is a craving. So what you need to do is just relax the first support, then maintain awareness and let everything settle down. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness. The initial training is very difficult, of course. At that time, most of the new cultivators are not stable yet. Even that word relax takes a long time to understand. Well, not until you do it, you will not come to realize that most sentient beings or human beings are really stressed up, not relaxed at all. Especially human beings. They got a lot of things disturbing them. That's why they call this stress. So stress can actually cause tension, tightness, worry, anxiety in the mind. So when you are not relaxed, you are not peaceful. Your sankhara is active. Then that thought keep on haunting you, because the unresolved issue of life, the unresolved problem of life, then the so-called problem that the thought perceive. So all this will cause stress. Your family problem, your office problem, your career problem, your business problem, your relationship problem, then a lot of other type of life related problems. Sometimes it's health, sickness, illness, and all these things. Then when you cannot resolve all this, they form stress. Sometimes it's ordinary life problem. It can be anything. So all this can give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, and stress, and the mind become disturbed. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, the lack of peace. So meditation is to see all this, to understand all this, and relax into it, and tell yourself, these are realities of life and existence. I have to confront it. I have to accept the reality and move. No point worrying about it, because no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help me solve all these problems. These are problems when I perceive it with negativity, without the Dhamma understanding. So my focus is on the Dhamma understanding. When I have the Dhamma understanding, I can resolve all this. So when I meditate, I just meditate, means I relax and allow all this tension, stress, or whatever fear, worry, anxiety to cease. When I silence my mind and don't do anything, everything returns to the original state of stillness, tranquility, peace. That is meditation. Then when it returns, you realize your nature, which is awareness, come back to you. You will realize your true mind, which is originally just the awareness nature. That's why no need to stress. No need to want to be aware. Just relax, maintain awareness, and you will settle down. Then you realize it's so beautiful to be at ease, to be at peace, not to do anything. Then, of course, when you come out of it, you will have to go back to life again. Then you have to look at it. Then you ask yourself, what happened with that calm mind, with that clarity? Ability to accept the reality of the moment means whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. These are realities of life and existence. Not only you face it, everybody face it. Then from there, we move. Then we ask ourselves, how can we resolve all this amicably through Noble Eightfold Path, having right view to accept the reality of life and existence. Then we look at the right view, law of karma, law of citta, mind, and law of dhamma, truth. Then we apply this right view to resolve all this. Then we apply right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then we apply the four right effort to constantly purify. Then we develop right mindfulness to stabilize our awareness nature and develop samadhi. Then we use it to awaken our mind so that the mundane mind can awaken, can realize itself and cease. Then the true mind can shine forth, the true nature can shine forth. That is what meditation is, that is what cultivation is. So all this become very beautiful. Then the four support become clear. Relax, maintain awareness. When you relax means you are doing the meditative way, the third way. Relax and maintain awareness and let the mind settle down. All the emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, the condition arising mind state which are not intrinsic to our true mind or nature, they will start to slow down and cease. Then when you realize that cessation or the silence before the cessation, that is your true mind. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is tranquility. That is still. Then from there, how it starts to create problem again, how it starts to stir, react, and give rise to sankhara activity again. Meditation is to see all this, understand all this, so that your mind can free. Then after that, when this awareness stabilizes, the meditation will move on its own. Then later on, when it's very stable, you can stay at the heart area and don't do anything. Then let the awareness nature without thought detect the gateway, then go in. Then let the nature do the meditation by itself. And all this will fall into place and you will progress very fast. So, Elsie, sadhu to you for giving rise to the condition for me to share and explain all this. So now, hopefully with your new understanding, it can help you progress faster. You can continue your sharing.
I noticed that since we are doing the awareness-based meditation, so we are more, I'm more aware of my surroundings. My senses lah, especially the voice, the vibration surrounding me. So it's more sensitive lah. And also very easy to pick up all these vibration.
Just to add on to what you have shared, because you don't have the stability to explain yet. So what happened is, in the past, before you have this awareness within, your senses are all functioning externally. Then whatever you see, whatever you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think, it will condition sankhara activity, thinking, mental stirring and reaction. That's why people become heedless, lost in thought, and they don't know what is happening. They lack this inner awareness. That's why when you develop this awareness-based meditation, you reverse the light and go in. That's why you are more aware of your internal senses. Then whatever that trigger off the sense data that hit your sense door activity, like the vibration, everything, you become more sensitive. You have the inner awareness, you perceive them. Then when you perceive them, before your memory, your brain activity, your accumulated views, opinion, and conditioning input the content of consciousness, you can be aware, you can see them, you can understand. Then after that, what happened? Your habitual tendency, how you stir your mind and how you react to familiar sense experience or life experience. It has become so habitual. You start to understand. Then from there, you can inquire. You can contemplate and reflect. How did all this happen? How come I am always like they call very mechanical, habitual. I always react that way. And this is not life. This is not heedful living. This is heedless living. This condition, wrong thought, suffering, misery, duality, you are preoccupied with right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So these are all defilements. Wrong thought, dualities. Then you start to see this is heedless living, very agitated mind states. Throughout the day, you keep on reacting to sense experience. Then when you start to understand all this, you will see their universal characteristic. Like the Buddha said, all these are sankhara, means my activity, my make-a-de. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, because of your views, opinion, and your conditioning, you react that way, you stir that way. So you start to inquire, how can I reverse all this? How can I become normal again? How can I be at peace to every situation in life, to every sense experience that arises within my own sense basis or form and mind? That is how you apply the Dhamma to actually root out the wrong view. Then you realize you lack this ability to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment, to accept people for what they are. Then all the Dhamma that I share, that the Buddha share, become clear. Then you realize, no wonder the Buddha say, learn to see things as they are. Direct knowledge and vision of the truth, of the reality, jnana dasana. So all this starts to become clear. Then from there, you start to reverse your understanding. You start to accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And with your right view, you can accept them. This could be due to past karmic. That's why now it happened. We become the victim. These are the karmic, what they call deaths, or karmic obstruction, or karmic friction or retribution that has come back to haunt us, or has arisen to allow us to pay back time. So all this understanding will arise, then we can actually transform our understanding, straighten our view to accept the reality of the moment, and not to fear, not to worry, not to blame, not to become emotional, angry, fearful, no more. Then with that understanding, we are at peace. Then when we are at peace, we have this yonisomanasikara, initial wisdom, that will allow us to have more and more moment of peace. That's why our mind will not be heedless like before. We will not react to sense experience. We will not stir habitually and all those things. So all this is what Avijja Sutta is all about, transforming ourselves. After step three, after the faith all developed, you straighten your view, you cultivate initial wisdom through first turning, second turning, and third turning. Wisdom. Then from there, you develop yonisomanasikara, initial wisdom, which will prompt you at the moment of sense experience. That's why you become different. You understand things differently, you transform. Then after that, you will have more moment of peace, tranquility, silence. Your meditative mind transform. You will realize your true mind. And more space between thought, awareness. That's how you develop step five. Sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then your mind become heedful, aware, tranquil, still, mindful most of the time. And from there, it develops heedfulness. Then it cultivates noble eightfold path. Then when it stabilizes, it will develop the wisdom more and more. Then after that, the next step, which is step six, is sense restraint. You can do it already. That time you won't break your precept already, which means you are at least sotapan. Yeah. The sotapan cannot break their precepts anymore. So all this will happen. So this is the added part to what you are going through. So hopefully all this will help you. See, sadhu to you.
Yeah, sadhu. Normally, actually for me, quite my mind state quite peaceful lah. And I won't easily stir up. But this morning when I recall back, this morning when I went to pack some food before I went to work. Yeah. So actually, sometimes our habitual tendency, it just
yeah,
but normally
again.
Normally for me, I don't I don't normally have this kind of reaction, but mm-hmm. this morning when mm-hmm. I went to pack lunch before I went to work, mm-hmm. so the boss was not there, and the Indonesian who came to serve me. So I was like, I don't like the Indonesian who served me, you know. So I was thinking I wanted the boss to serve actually.
Yeah.
So this tendency, habitual tendency, just pop up.
You perceive the Indonesian worker as less friendly and efficient, and you prefer, the mind has a preference that the boss actually serve you, but that is the reality. The boss is not around.
Yeah, so correct.
It's for you to see how our mind actually react to situation and have that perception, because we have preference. So preference is actually what we call, how to describe it. When you have preference, it's a hindrance to cultivation. It's just like when you watch a game, can be badminton or tennis or what. If our own national player is playing, when we watch a game, we tend to support our player. Then we are not really watching the game as something that we are supposed to watch. So that perceived preference, or that perceived taking side, a bias position, will prevent you from enjoying the game and seeing the game. So it's just like when your player from your nation lost, or you feel and all those things, you react. Yeah, this is normal for human being. But when you have the understanding that this is just a game, badminton, the better player will win, and you can understand what karma is like. Some people with the better condition and the karma, they will win on that day. And sometimes meticulously, like that day, I remember the high-low final between Li Zixia and this Singapore player. I forgot the name already. So Li Zixia is supposed to win. The first game he won, then second game he did very well. He was leading. Then that Singaporean player, he injured his hand actually. So I thought he will win. But then when I continued to watch the game, I knew why it's meant to be that he will lose. But he almost practically threw away his game at the towards the end of the second game. I think he was injured. His back has problem. Then he gave up the second game. Then the third game, after playing for a while, which he tried, but he knew he can't. That's why he surrendered the game without finishing off. And if you watch it without bias, without preconceived perception of what you prefer, then you can really accord and flow and be with whatever you are watching. And so for your case, it's a learning curve where you can help to maybe overcome in the future. That's why you will come to realize the subtle craving or desire behind our mind. When we have preference, we create preference. We create what they call subtle craving for things. Like you say, most of the things you can accept already. You can accept them for what they are. Then you can smile. And you can. But the slight reaction from inside, the subtle reaction, is still there. So this one, you have to straighten it and root it out still further. Until finally, you can just accept the reality of the moment. But that is what happened. That is the reality. The boss is not there. It's either you make a decision, come back later, or not to buy from him. But sometimes it's Interesting. There is meant to be. So you let him serve you without bias. You can observe how he do. But certain people, like certain housewife, I believe, they are very particular one. Some they are very hygienic in their approach to thing. Then they look at the worker, like the foreign worker, and they say, this is not hygienic. They try to avoid, and they don't want to go near. Yeah. So all this, they need to find out that this is what living is all about. This is what life is all about. Condition like that, things will be like that. So we need to actually root out all this, develop the understanding, and we transform for the better until all this very fine type of subtle reaction to mind or preference are rooted out. It can be done. It can be done. So all these are good understanding. So what you brought out is very good. So finally, what happened after you buy already?
Then I was thinking, hey, such a small thing. Why I'm so particular?
That is the wisdom. Because the reality is the boss not there. He serve you. So you should observe what happened. And sometimes it can be a blessing in this guy actually for him as a foreign worker. Actually not bad. Because sometimes I look at this foreign worker. I was also going through the last few days repairing my roof, which I managed to get home finally, quite a good contractor. And the worker, he sent only one Chinese local and the other three are foreign worker. One Bangla and two Indonesian, but they were nice people. So I didn't perceive them with negativity. So only on the first day, the Chinese more skillful one is there, but the next 3 days, the Indonesian foreign worker, they already know what to do. So they do. So I allow them to do and treat them quite well. In fact, give them drinks and all those things. It's not easy, tired and very hot up there. And I deal direct with the boss who actually organized this. Then I came to realize that because the way I treat them, they are actually very nice and very friendly. Then after that, that boss that coordinated the thing, on the final day when he came and inspected the work and took all the photo and showed it to me, he told me, he said, Mr. Teo, you are lucky. They are so meticulous. They even repair the part that is not included in my scope. Because they feel that they should do it for me. Then they did up a lot of things that is not supposed to be in the scope. Minor thing that I show it to them, they do it. So now my roof is okay now. So today is a major test after they finish. Today, very heavy rain, no more problem. So everything was resolved. So sometimes if you don't perceive them with negativity, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Even my wife also came to agree, yeah, they were very skillful. They did a good job. That's why we happily pay them. So all this can happen. Elsie, sadhu to you. Very good.
Actually, there's one time, so I just relate my experience. Recently when I was washing dishes, there was one time. So I find my mind was so quiet.
Oh, sadhu.
So quiet.
It's very good.
I was like meditating, you know.
Yeah. It's just then like suddenly, Alicia. Alicia also go through that.
So suddenly, then I realized, how come my mind is so quiet?
And aware like most of the time. Yeah, it will happen.
I was like meditation.
Yeah, in the meditative state, yes. Like it's all the time aware. It's like nothing to distract you force you to like go and think and worry about things. Like everything just on, just like Po Cheng also went through. he just do it so well because of the mindfulness. And she smiled a lot. It's so amazing. Even buying fruits, you say, with mindfulness, is so different with awareness. Then you can start to see your silent mind that is more stable, has become more sensitive, and you will see the difference between the old way, the heedless way that has a lot of thought behind, the heedless thinking, the worrier, and now just aware, just do. That's why it's silent. Most of the time, just aware, and you just do it efficiently and skillfully. So this is what Dhamma is, the daily mindfulness. Once you have started the Bodhisattva way type of cultivation and make the Bodhisattva vow, renew it continuously for a certain period, then after that, your daily religious routine, then constantly listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, reflect, contemplate, then maintain your daily mindfulness and awareness, then all this can happen. All this can happen. And you will know that you have changed, you have transformed, and you have progressed. Then the understanding arises by itself. Sadhu, I see, very good.
So when I washing the dishes, I was meditating.
Yeah.
So I heard the birds chirping, just like what I when I do my meditation. Suddenly I was just like woke up it's just like normal you know. I was like woke up you know.
Yeah, yeah. You become aware again. You become conscious again, come out of it.
So that's the experience.
Very good. Sadhu.
Actually, 很 amazing. 我觉得, 我跟 LC 讲 something happened to me, but 我就是 full of joy, and then 怎样讲啊？就是好像 brother 就讲着 just aware 这样
啊，对，
就是你发觉到你整个 form and mind 好像就是不同了，就是
yeah.你会了解 very clearly that this is just a phenomenon.
Yeah.
The vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world. So use it. Make use of it. And do your duty. Then it's just aware. Then you will move. Then you will do its duty. Then you understand. Because you understand there's a lot of Dhamma joy. So the joy keep on arising.Because with this Dhamma, this understanding, your life has changed for the better. And it has become so peaceful, so different. Like a lot of things go your way. You're like very blessed, very lucky in the worldly sense. But actually, these are all the result of the Dhamma cultivation, the activity thatyou have done over the past few years after you have understood the Dhamma, and you are very determined to understand all this because you went through that condition that allow you to determine to develop all this understanding and free your mind. So all these are very beautiful happenings. That's why with your ability to go through all this, my nature also rejoice. Sadhu to you. 很好啊。
是的 ,brother. 因为就是你的 existence 好像整个就是它好像很多 understanding start to come, you know, like,
unfold.
Start to unfold, you know.
And you have a lot of joy.
对，他就是哇，这样子的，这样子的，
对对对对。
就是很 amazing.
Because you can see a lot of things happening. Before the Dhamma actually stabilizing you, a lot of these things that happen, you cannot see, you cannot reconcile. And it's like, why like that?But now you laugh, you smile, you understand the causes and conditions behind. And when you do it correctly, when the condition is such, everything unfolds so beautifully, so wonderfully. That's why there is so much joy. And you will go through a phase of life where you will show it to you that Dhamma is so wonderful. It's like that. Meant to be will be. Everything is just the way it is. And that Dhamma joy is very, very different from the normal joy or happiness that people have. But this is born of understanding, not born of like receiving some magic prize or whatever. This is even deeper in that sense. Yeah, these are understanding that money cannot buy. Even if you are very wealthy, you cannot use your wealth to buy this understanding. Because these are wisdom. Understanding that you have about life, about existence, about the form and mind. So Dhamma is very wonderful when it unfolds. So for your case, I can understand what you're going through, which is very good. Sadhu to you. 很好. Yeah.
是的 ，brother Dio 有一阵子我在我的 thought 里面一直想 aware，try to be aware，那个
actually is the type of
thing，做不到的，你做不到的
，that's why you must be natural。
Yeah，所以我 after 我 go through all this， 我了解到的是，而且明白到很多东西都是要很自然，很 relax 的。 哎呀，对，很自然，要去接受，对，是，就是你的 cultivation 走到哪里，它就会 manifest 出来给你，对，给你看，给你
witness， that's why you will have a lot of joy and understanding，
是，就是。 I think cultivation is in such that 你要 step by step 去 go through, then 你去 understand, 然后再迈向一步，再慢慢 you know, like 它就是很多时候的发生就是 Bradio 讲的 ，it's part of the way for you to
yeah part of the way for you to develop understanding.
对，我们去develop 那个 understanding， 然后就知道哦，原来是这个这样。
所以很多时候就是，所以
我有时跟 LC 讲是说，因为。 你如果没有经过这些 test 你都不能够了解的，知道不了解，但是你是为什么会这样，然后你的因缘反应你也不能够知道，所以，it's like a blessing. Whatever happened 都是一个 blessing 来的。
It's a blessing in disguise, meant to be. Whatever that is meant to be will be. That's why 你经过了，你就会了解了，你会 sometimes just smile. It's meant to be. That's why it will happen. So when it happens, it could be a blessing in disguise. Initially, it may appear like a UI like that. But later on, you find out, it's meant to be. That's why earlier on also, the same thing happened. In fact, I was getting some quotation for the roof repair. The first one I got was a another contractor that did my house recommended to me because he retired and he is not free to do because the son take over. Then he said, don't worry, brother. He said, Mr. Teo, I recommend you. So I thought he recommend one should be reliable. Then it so happened, it turned out that this guy came and have a look, then gave me a proposal. Then I sort of trusted him because of the earlier contractor that did my house very well. So I said, okay, when can you start work? So initially he told me, he said, MCO, they need approval from CIDB and all this. So I said, okay. Then I waited 2 months. He didn't start work. Then later on, I chased him. I said, now phase four, the MCO over, no need approval already. So when can you start? So finally he told me, okay, in 2 days time, I will start work. Then 2 days time, he didn't even call me until I have to call him. Then he said, oh, okay, I dropped by. Then when he dropped by, he told me, he said, I have to look at your roof again. I have to do some measurement there. I have to order the material, which means he was not prepared. No. Then later on, I say, okay, you go out and measure. Then suddenly, that night, when I text him, so can you start work tomorrow? He suddenly replied me, he said, sorry, he said, I don't have the time to do your work. Just like that. No. So normal people will have created the thought, you waited 2 months for you and you tell me. That's why finally I received the message. Then I wanted to call him and confirm what happened, see whether it's because of some misunderstanding or not. Then he didn't reply. Then the next morning he called me. Then when he called me, I straight away know already. He said, sorry, he said, because of something he cannot do the work. I said, it's okay, never mind. I said, then you don't need to do it. I say. Then I get another contractor who early on quote to me, although his price was higher but more comprehensive. Then I call up this contractor. Then he said, oh, okay. He said, I remember you. He said, although 2 months ago. Then he said, if you want me to start work, I can arrange. He said, 3 days. Give him 2 or 3 days. I remember he said. Well, then I said, okay, I reconfirm with you. Then I discuss with him, then maybe get the quotation firm up. Then he discount to me the few $100, I think, Cai Tao. So I say, okay, go ahead. Then it turned out blessing in disguise. That's why you don't go and react. Whatever happened initially, maybe like 一个不好的印象, so you like normal people react and say, oh, you, I waited for you for 2 months, then trusted you because all this is no more reality, no meaning. You dwell over sankara activity, thought process for what? The reality is he has made the decision. He is the way he is. So we have to accept him for what he is. Then we have to move on. Move on means I have to make another decision. That's why I did that. So all this, you understand, just like what you mentioned, you accept everything as part of the way, then you come to realize it's actually meant to be. You have to go through this phase. You have to go through all this for the correct thing to happen. So in life, it's not like every time you persist something with negativity, you become unhappy, you react. No need. Sometimes like accident happened already, resolve it, finish, move. That is life, that is Dhamma. Don't get angry over things that are trivial. We call it trivial. Trivial means not important. Then with the Dhamma understanding, we know things is just the way it is, causes and condition behind all things. So we will be able to accept what happened. So all this understanding will continue to unfold and become very beautiful. So salute to you, Alicia, for going through all this. For understanding. Very good.
经常那个 chanting 里面就是那个经书里面的那些 verse 那些字会 you know 时常会 pop up
对你会诶不然就讲
that is a reminder 是对的就 like you know 它就是一直给你 you know evolving like understanding 然后你的心就是随着这些慢慢就是 you understanding 然后就慢慢的成长
对
very amazing
very amazing. Okay, let us rejoice with all the good sharing today. Elsie and Alicia sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.